Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. It's time for Favor Life, and I'm so glad that you're with me today in our journey on the process of there. I'm Pastor Cheryl Thaxton. I'm the host of the show, and I'm so glad that you tuned in so that we can daily walk through the process of there, seeing Abraham, and not just Abraham, but other people in the Bible, as they go through the process of there, seeing their flaws, seeing their faith, seeing their struggles, seeing the things that challenge them, and watching God prove himself and prove the word that he spoke over them and concerning them and making that word come to pass, because he watches over his word to perform it for us. So we know that whatever God has spoken in your life and said that you will be or you will go or you will do, this process of there takes you there, and it takes you there with all of your frailties, all of your mistakes, all of the things that have happened and will occur in your life, and God turns it out, works it out, and makes it good. He makes it come together like stirring a cake. He makes it work together, work in your testimony, your overcoming testimony, work in your life, work for you, work to make you. He causes it to work for your good, that it brings glory unto him. So I thank God that even I myself, I'm in the process of there, and every time he takes me through the process and I walk through the process of there, I learn more, see more, know more, experience more, but it also makes me more humble because I have to trust and depend on God to do the thing that he said that he would do in our lives. So it's a blessing. I wanted to hit back on this little topic because the Holy Spirit was dealing with me about this process of there, and when Abraham goes into Egypt because of a famine, there was something that drove him there. When you read in the Bible, Genesis, the 12th chapter, and you see the 10th verse, it says that there was a famine in the land, and Abraham goes and dwells in the land of Egypt. And something forced him there. He never consulted God, never asked God, never said, should I go? Where should I go? Is this the place for me? He goes into Egypt without consulting God. But once he gets there, he starts to realize that his decision has drawn attention to his wife and that the Egyptians are going to find her desirable, because Sarah was very beautiful. She was beautiful, and even though she was aging, her beauty didn't age. She got better with time. So we see that the king desired her. But he knew that Pharaoh or the Egyptians were going to desire Sarah. He makes a decision out of his own fear, out of the place that he decided to go without consulting God, and he says, say that you're my sister instead of my wife. And God, as I said before, defends him. But I want to talk mainly about this place, because many of us make decisions or indecisions or have gone through something where we didn't consult God and some things transpired and we have gotten stuck. And that's what I want to talk to you about. I want to talk about getting stuck. Whenever we allow something in our life, because life is going to happen, things are going to happen, and sometimes you can control them and sometimes you cannot control them, but you cannot remain in a place where you're not moving forward, you're not progressively covering ground, you're not progressively going into the place of there, that you stay in the place of looking back continually at the place of your failure, of your fall, of your mistake, of your heartbreak, of your letdown, of your wound. You can't stay there, because staying there means whatever you outran before is now getting ready to overtake you. It also means that the place of what you're feeling, that atmosphere, is now going to consume you, because nothing new is coming in, because you've allowed yourself to stay in a state or a place that is not ushering in new life. So that place is going to be the world of what you breathe, think, live, relate to, react to. And even though time is going on and life is going on, you will still be in a place that is not moving, which will cause a death to you spiritually, emotionally, mentally, even in some relationships, because you can't get beyond this place of your failure, your fall, your letdown. And you got to understand that God always chooses
unlikely candidates. Abraham is not a likely candidate. He is not someone that you would even go and say, this is the one. He's the one. Even if you look at David, when David was being chosen, when Samuel went to go and anoint the king, the father, David's father brought everyone that he thought was likely, likely candidate because of the strength, of their look, of their brawnness, of their ability to fight. And the Lord didn't choose any of them. He chose David. He chose Abraham. He chose Jacob, who was a trickster. You know, he chose Moses, and Moses was a murderer. Okay, he's choosing people who we would not choose. We ourselves probably wouldn't choose ourselves. But God has chosen us, and because he has chosen us, his plan for us is perfect. It looks beyond where we're weak, where we've fallen, where we've made mistakes, and it sees the need of him to go and take us, to grip us up and take us to a place where we conquer, where we win, where we live beyond the place that we should have never gotten up. God is always calling us to a higher place, making us look forward. The enemy's always telling us to look behind. And that's what you have to understand. You cannot allow the enemy to take you to a place where you just can't get out of it, can't go forth, can't be what God has said, can't move forward. Hebrews 4, 1 and 2 gives us something that we need to look forward to. It says, therefore, let us fear if we, while a promise remains of entering his rest, any one of you may seem to have come short of it. For indeed, we have good news preaching to us, just as they also. But the word they heard did not profit them because it was not united by faith in those who heard it. In other words, don't get in a place where you're not acting in faith because of a past failure. Faith is an action word. Faith is acting on God's word. It's acting on what God said and knowing that you can't do it in yourself, that he has to do it. You've got to move forward. You've got to see yourself doing what God says and knowing that it's not in you, it's in God, who's the one who promised and who's the one that's going to bring it to pass. He's going to make sure it happens in your life. The enemy wants you to get stuck in your past. And even though you hear the word and you've seen the miracle-working power of God in your life through salvation, we sometimes neglect to understand that that same miracle power is able to take us out of a state of failure, of loss, of grief, of hurt, of disappointment, of fear, and take us on to a place where we're triumphant. But you've got to allow the word and the will of God to be performed in your life. You can't go backwards because of one mistake. We're looking at Abraham, who's starting on a journey. He's just starting on this journey. And here it is, he makes a mistake. But he does not, in his own self, say, I can't do what God says because I made this mistake. Abraham knew that God knew who he was. And he had already settled the issue. You don't see him telling God, I can't do this because. The only person that you see saying this is Moses, and yet, which is a contradictory, because when you look in the book of, and you look at Moses' life, and you look at where he was and what God is doing in his life, we read and we see in the book of Exodus 6 and 12, it says, mentions and it talks about him, even in Exodus 4 and 10, it talks about him, and it says that he was a man of power. In words and deeds. That's what it says. Even Acts 7 and 22 says this. But when we look at him, he goes to God and he tells God, I'm slow in speech and I'm unskilled. He had gotten stuck in the failure of his murder and the failure of his fall. And he didn't want to see himself as mighty or powerful. He didn't want to see himself as a man that could do what God said. And God had to talk to him and let him know, listen, even though you stopped choosing yourself and even though you've given up on yourself and even though you're satisfied with staying here and dealing with the sheep and staying here and taking care of your father-in-law's sheep and your wife, I've got something greater for you. And I'm not looking at your failure. Even though you think it's great and it is great, I'm looking beyond that because I'm going to use you to be a deliverer. You cannot allow the place where you got hurt, you got injured, you failed, you might have sinned, to stop you from going forward. Because before that event happened, before that thing happened in your life, you saw yourself in a different light. You saw yourself in a different standard. You saw yourself strong. You saw yourself going forth. There was a tenacity in you. There was something in you that says, I can do what God says. And then when this event happened, this thing happened, it came to weaken you and take the life out of you and make you look at yourself differently. But that's when the Bible says to us, when we are weak, then he is strong. That's when you go and you say, God, in myself, I know that I can't do it. And this event has let me know that I can't, but I'm relying on you and the word that you spoke. Because you cannot lie and you can't fail me. So what you said must come to pass in my life. So I'm going to you and I'm grabbing your strength and I'm grabbing your word and I'm grabbing your life. And I'm commanding that to be the thing that manifested in my life. I was one night just studying, and I know we're getting ready to close, but I was just studying and talking to the Lord, and I was telling him about this place that I'm in. And the Holy Spirit quickened me, and he said to me very, very, very clearly, he said, when you hit a hard place, when you hit a place that doesn't look like you can see the light, he said, that's the time when you go and you grab the word and the promise of the word, and you make that word, you speak and decree that word by faith until the life and the light of that word fills you, your heart, your atmosphere, and begins to change everything around you, pulling the promise in the atmosphere and casting out the fear that is coming to stifle you. You've got to do the same thing. What is the promise that God has given you? What has he said to you? What is he speaking in your life? And it doesn't matter where you're at right now. I don't care how dark it is. What is God saying? Grab that word. Grab the word of God and begin by faith to decree it. See that word in your mind, in your heart, and speak it and decree it and declare it over and over and over again until that word becomes the faith that grabs a hold, that commands those things that be not as though they were, that shapes your life, that commands the word and the life of God to be just like it was in Genesis. The Bible says that the Spirit of God hovered, brooded over the dark, the very dark, the deep. There is something that has come in your life to try to bring darkness and a deep place and a lonely place and a weak place and a chaotic place, but you have the word, and the word is powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. God's words are yes. God's promises unto us are yes and amen, and his word is nigh us. It is in our mouth. All we have to do is begin to speak it by faith and decree it and stand on it and get ourselves in the place of saying, it doesn't matter about this. Where I'm going is brighter and better than this. The place of victory is beyond this. The place of triumphantness is beyond this. The place of me succeeding is beyond this. The place where I'm influencing lives is beyond this. The place where ministry is flourishing is beyond this. It's beyond this place that came. It's beyond this place that came to distract me or discourage me or to keep me limited or keep me in fear or keep me in want or lack or keep me sick. My place of destiny is beyond whatever hit my life. It's beyond that because the word of God didn't stop there. God is continuing to say the same thing. He's speaking the same thing. So I encourage you today. I really, really encourage you. Not allow this place. I don't care if you brought it on yourself, if you did it, if someone else did it, if it happened, whatever it is, it can't hold you. It can't hold the promise of God. It can't hold what God has already spoken concerning you. It cannot keep you bound unless you allow it. But I encourage you, get up. Put on, gird yourself up. Put on strength, for the truth shall make you free. For out of Zion comes our deliverance. Jesus has already commanded our deliverance, and it's time for us to now move in that place where we're seeing the deliverance power of God through his word do some miraculous things in our life. It is the season and the time, and even in the process of there, God will be good to us. God will be faithful to us. God will show up, and he will show himself strong and mighty. Your
I pray that you have been encouraged. This is Favor Life, and I'm so glad that you joined me. Remember, God has favored her with his presence, his life, and his peace. Be blessed in Jesus' name.